This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good morning. This is BFM 89.9. I'm Khoo Soo Chuang with Philip C. And it's 7:36 in the morning. Now, we turn our attention now to India, which is bracing for a third wave of COVID infections driven by Omicron. New daily cases filled, rising sixfold in a week to nearly 60,000 cases already, which sounds like a lot, but it's a 1.3 billion population country. So,
I think the numbers belie, I think, a bigger issue here, because the largest cities, New Delhi and Mumbai, account for one third of the infections reported. And both cities have brought back curfews and restrictions to stop the spread of the virus. Now, the rising infections are a somber reminder of the devastating second wave India faced in April and May. Do you remember those fires that they had to put out across the board to show the cremated bodies? It was really sad. At the peak of the crisis, daily new cases averaged at about 400,000, resulting in severe shortages of hospital beds and oxygen supplies. So the question here is, how prepared are authorities for the present COVID-19 surge? And how has the pandemic management impacted Prime Minister Narendra Modi's government?
Well, to answer that question, as well as what's in store for India in the coming year, we now turn to Dr. Pradeep Taneja, a senior lecturer in Asian politics at the Melbourne University. Good morning, Doc. Now, like many countries around the world, India is facing resurgence in COVID cases. How is the Modi government responding to the Omicron threat, and how have public health strategies changed in light of past experiences?
Well, the experience of last year, particularly around, you know, April, May, when, as you said, there were, India was averaging about 400,000 cases daily. Since then, of course, some lessons have been learned. So, for example, the Indian cities like Bombay or Mumbai and Delhi are better prepared than they were in terms of, you know, oxygen supply or hospital beds, because extra hospital beds are being added. But overall, I think the fault lines in India's health system cannot be, you know, overcome so quickly. And one of the problems in India's healthcare system is that it is excessively privatized. And privatization of healthcare system, of course, means that the wealthy are able to access healthcare much more easily, going to expensive private hospitals. But for the ordinary people, it is always a problem. For the poor, it is always a problem. So in that sense, I think the preparations aren't, you know, quite adequate. But overall, I think the government has learned some lessons, and I think they should be better prepared than they were, you know, last year during the second wave.
But correct me if I'm wrong, Dr. Pradeep, you know, when we look at the vaccination rate for India, it's full adult population, only about 44%. But we also hear stories that India, you know, its largest manufacturer, the Serum Institute, last month had about a stockpile of 500 million doses of COVID Shield, their vaccine. Why is there such a disconnect between the vaccination rate and the supply of vaccines then?
Actually, the vaccination rate is higher than what you say, because according to my data, India has vaccinated more than 50% of its adult population, that is people over 18 years of age, and about 85% have received at least one dose. So it is actually doing better than you suggest. But overall, I think the distribution is part of the problem. In the rural areas, vaccination rate has been slower than it has been in big cities like Mumbai or Delhi. But overall, I think India is in a better position because, as you said, you know, Serum Institute of India is one of the largest producers of vaccines in the world. And there are a number of other vaccine manufacturers in India. So supply of vaccines is not a problem. But administration of vaccines has been a bit slow, particularly in the rural areas. There is also a question of vaccine hesitancy. There is I don't have any figures, but there is a large percentage of population which is still reluctant to take vaccines. You know, India has traditionally had a strong focus on natural remedies. And some of those people who believe strongly in natural remedies have been a bit hesitant to get the vaccines.
And Doc, what about the Modi government? What's your sense of his approval ratings at this point in time?
Well, you know, it depends on which opinion poll you look at. But overall, Prime Minister's, you know, rating in terms of public opinion have taken a hit, largely because of, you know, the farmers' protest, which you've been reporting on, I know. The farmers' protest, which ultimately led to the Prime Minister withdrawing those three agricultural, you know, laws. has, I think, had some impact on the prime minister's, popularity amongst the masses. But we have, elections coming up, state elections coming up in some of the crucial states like Punjab, where the prime minister was supposed to be campaigning yesterday. And in Uttar Pradesh, of course, or UP, is India's most populous state. It sends the largest number of parliamentarians to the Indian National Parliament. And those elections, I think, would be a litmus test of the popularity of the prime minister, because particularly in UP, Prime Minister Modi, BJP government is in power. And if they can hold their ground in UP, then one would say that, his popularity, in fact, hasn't been badly dented by COVID or by the farmers' protests. So in a country like India, it is really very difficult. Opinion polls don't really give you a very accurate picture. You have to see what the trends are in terms of election results.
Do you think Congress can make a comeback? Do you think this might signal the end of Rahul Gandhi's leadership in the Congress party?
I think Congress will not be able to make a comeback during the forthcoming, elections in UP or the 2024 elections in the national elections. But Congress party does need to regroup, does need to reorganize. Whether that is possible under Rahul Gandhi's leadership, I mean, remember that at the moment, he's not effectively the leader. The leader is still his mother. But Congress party is supposed to elect a new president. And those elections have been postponed indefinitely. And therefore, I think in my view, Congress party does need to engage in a bit of introspection and look at, how it can reorganize. Remember, this is the oldest, this is the grand old party of India. It had national organization, but over the years, it has weakened significantly, particularly with the rise of BJP and also the rise of many smaller regional parties. So the party does need to take a close look and reorganize. In my view, personally, if you ask me, I think the Congress party should choose a new leader, perhaps from outside the Gandhi family, and then focus on rebuilding the party.
I really wonder, when you think about 2022, what are the key things that will shape India's future? Because, we've talked so much about its vaccination rollout. We're seeing the economy doing relatively well and actually is recovering. What are the biggest challenges that will define India in the coming elections then?
I think the immediate challenge, of course, is to deal with this COVID pandemic. I mean, that, I think, has to be the immediate priority of the government. But India cannot, of course, deal with COVID in isolation. India is better placed than many other developing countries, but India would have to, adopt its own measures to deal with this pandemic in line with what the recommendations of the World Health Organizations and the other international, experts are. But once COVID is brought under control, the real challenge is going to be the economy returning to high growth rate, because Prime Minister Modi had, for example, set a target of Indian economy becoming a $5 trillion economy by 2025. And that seems unlikely to happen unless Indian economy can grow at 9% or more over the next few years. So I think the focus is going to be on growing the economy at a higher rate once COVID is brought under control. But it's going to be a difficult ask, in my opinion.
Okay, Doc, thank you so much for your time. That was Dr. Pradeep Taneja, Senior Lecturer in Asian Politics at the Melbourne University. Interesting to end on that note, because, when you look at India's demographics, with about 1.2 billion people, give or take, India should have taken its place at the top table, economically speaking, by now. And some people say that democracy is what's thwarted its rise, as opposed to the top-down approach, taken by China. China, I think, is around about the high teens in terms of economic size, about 18, 19 trillion. America is about 20 trillion or so. That inflection will not happen soon. But even in 4 years' time, India is only a quarter of China.
Exactly. You think about it, China's GDP is 5.5 times higher than India. On a PPP basis, the GDP of China is 2.61 times that of India. So India has a lot to catch up. So when we think about 9% GDP growth, actually it's not really a lot considering that there's so much room for growth.
It's not.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.